Whatever happened to me was when I got saved. Had some great things to happen. It was a really exciting time when I got my bride. It took me 3 years to get her. And then when my first son was born, it was an exciting time. My aunt was a gardener when I told her. She said, "You get out of that, my cucumber patch, you're stomping them all down." And then it was a real exciting time when my twins were born. But nothing is exciting as that moment I got saved about 9:30 on a Monday night. Brother Charles Keever's got a daughter, his oldest daughter. You know when they sang that song, "I got saved such and such time"? She and I are the only two that's ever stood up that got saved on Monday night. And I always say, when I see her, "What night you get saved?" She said, "Monday." I said, "Me too." I'll never forget it. Psalm 33. Let me say what a blessing it's been to me this year to come down here. This is the year I'll be 85. And I need more to keep me going than I used to. And I've really been blessed with this great, great time of sweet fellowship. And I've not heard a boring message yet. They wouldn't have been in the pyre. Done great things for my soul. So if you found your place, would you honor the word of the Lord and stand and look at Psalm 33. "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psalms and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breadth of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as in heap. He lifts up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded it and it stood still, stood fast. The Lord bringeth a counsel for heathen to naught. He maketh devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Our Heavenly Father, it's so wonderful to read these 22 verses of Psalm 33. And it's so wonderful to be at Gateway Baptist Church once again and to experience all this fine, sweet fellowship and to eat the food of the fine ladies. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week indeed. And we've looked forward to it. And God bless Brother Ray and all of his and the church, Lord. And we pray for the dear man that was sick yesterday for his healing. And we pray, Lord, to have mercy upon our nation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What I'm thinking of, this is January, and it's the first month of a new year. You know, Jack Van Impen, the big fellows, is saying something's going to happen this year. They don't know no more than I know, but I know this, that God's in charge of it. Amen. You know, they say the Lord will come in 2012. I don't deny that, but he could come right now. As far as I'm concerned, he could come anytime since 1948, as far as the scripture's concerned. And so the word in the Bible is to watch. Watch. The Lord used it so much. But I'm thinking about a new song in a new year. God doesn't look at time, you know. He's from everlasting to everlasting. But this is the first of 9 references in the Bible to a new song. The song deals with the events of creation, and it's the first psalm that does. And of course, you'll find it many times. Psalm 100, it is He that made us, right on and on through the scriptures. And the new song is to be sung with instruments and accompaniments. We could use a joyful sound to explain it, to phrase loud voice. Psalm 89:15 calls a joyful sound. But I told old brother David Critcher, I couldn't sing as loud as he can, but I can sing some. And so if you got a voice, can carry a tune, sing a little bit. And if you can't, well, just holler a little bit. It'll help the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, the new song is of great importance in a Christian's life, and so should be sung with joy. God loves that joy in those songs, for it deals with the grandest of themes. That's what I'm just going to preach a few minutes on that. Notice, number one, it is a great assertion that the word of the Lord is always right. Amen. This Christian author, he's written 3 books, but he wanted me to write a chapter on heaven. And so I wrote a chapter on heaven. And about a month, he sent it back. And he had changed my scriptures. And he had had a version of the Bible in it. And so I sent it on back to him with a note. I said, if the King James Bible offends you, just leave my chapter out. And about 2 weeks, I got a letter from him, and he's all apologizing. And he said, I'm going to send it back to you with your scriptures in it. And so if words like thine and thee offend somebody, that's their problem. It doesn't offend me or ye. It is a holy Bible. That's what it says. It doesn't supposed to be changed to fit a generation just because we think, you know, we're an educated generation and these men and women's brains are so stout they think they can change that. It don't impress me a bit about that. I went to World War II for my nation. I love my nation. I still stands for the glory of God. Tell you, the Bible says, and the works of the Lord is always true. That's what it says, verse 4. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable. Profitable for reproof. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for preaching. It's profitable for teaching. We don't need any scripture except God's word. Amen. His righteousness and goodness are evident everywhere to those with eyes to see and heart to believe. Verse 5. That is why people of faith can operate their lives on Romans 8 and 28, for all things happen together for good. Oh, Brother Ralph Sexton Sr., one of the greatest men that's ever come out of the mountains for God, said that the Bible is for believers. He'd always bring that in his messages. The Bible is for believers. If the Bible said that Jonah swallowed that whale, I'd have believed it. How come? I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Don't offend me, but the Bible's not unreasonable. It couldn't have said that. Right. Amen. The Bible talks about being little children in faith. And I never claim to know much, but I know to believe the Bible. And then number two, that God's creation was His mighty Word. That's what verse 6 said. God's creation is His mighty work. I went through this morning and marked a few scriptures. But in Genesis chapter 1, talking about the creation, you know, Huntsman was a great intellectual man. That he was one of those that's trying for the president. And I heard him make this statement. He said, "I'm an evolutionist and I can't help it." Well, if he'd read the Bible, he could have helped it. I think he's a fine man, you know. Nothing wrong with his philosophy, because he's a conservative. And nothing wrong with those. Them conservatives, as far as I'm, all of them could have made a good president. But he could have helped it. He's willingly blind. Anytime you take any philosophy instead of the Bible's word, you're not that fine. But in Genesis chapter 1, I go over a few of these scriptures. The Bible says in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water." And then verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so." Verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed," and so forth. Verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs or seasons." Verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that it be fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, beasts of the earth after his kind." Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing." And the last one is verse 29, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb and tree." And so God made it with the breath, you know. He made it with the breath of his mouth. Verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and is full of the goodness of the Lord." God breathed it into existence. God's. He made it. Jesus Christ came and paid for it. He made it and paid for it on Calvary's cross. It belongs to God. It didn't come from nothing. God just spake it. Amen. I don't believe a thing about evolution. In fact, back in my day, they didn't teach it. And I graduated from high school in 1945. And they're fighting the Bible now, and they're getting the mind of our young people. And that's why we need strong Christian homes and strong Christian churches, that our children will not be taken up by that brainwashing by Bible disbelievers. And then number three, it's a comfort to know God doesn't change. I like that. He doesn't change. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Amen. I used to jump up and flip them together twice before I hit the floor. Now I can't hardly walk. Jesus Christ said, He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's from everlasting to everlasting. You'll never find the place in the Bible where the Son and the Father was separated except at Calvary. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Never had happened before. Oh, from everlasting to everlasting, they'll never be separated again. He did it for me and he did it for you. He died in agony. He shed his last blood in more pain than we'll ever know, that covered the generation from Adam rolling up to the generation of the rapture, was on his soul when he died at Calvary. We'll never know that. We've got 7 billion people in the world today, and he died for every one of them. But think about every generation back to Adam. Every one of them was placed right on him. You didn't think I could do that to me, be 85, did you? Get full of God, you can just do anything. Amen. I'm not too emotional, but I like to jump around a little once in a while when I get to preaching about my Lord. Amen. Thank God, what a Savior. What a Savior. Oh, it's comfort to know the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. I counsel with the Word of God. If I'm marrying a couple, I counsel with the Word of God. If I preach, I'm counseling with the Word of God. You know, my counsel is the Word of God. And for 56 years I've been preaching, and that's the only thing I've ever used is the Word of God. I tell them people, I said, most shrinks get $200 or $300 an hour. I can do it for nothing if they'll come to me and give more than the shrinks I give them. Oh, now listen, the only way under God's heaven, and I love our nation. I can't tell you how much I love our nation. I love the United States of America. I'll tell you, my one burden would be that if the rapture don't come, I got 6 great-grandchildren. And the little ones, just three or four months, on up to 6-year-old. My burden is that they could have the same chance of life that I had, you know. But this verse has got the formula. For the United States of America, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And then blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what it says. That stand forever, of whom he has chosen for his own. That's the only hope that this great America has. The only way. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. I mean, think about it. His people, the Jews, they was the greatest nation on earth. No doubt about it. They was the apple of God's eye. Every battle they fought, you know, God would give them victory over it. And he kept them. He kept them. And old Jeremiah, he preached nigh half a century for them to repent. They put him in holes and they spit on him. They plucked his beard out and he said, I'll quit. I'll just give it up. But he said, there's a fire in my bones and I couldn't stay. There ain't no way a God called preacher could give it up. Oh, old brother Henry Moose was a preacher's friend, and he said, and preachers always called him, and he named 2 men that fouled up, you know, ruined themselves. And that he said both of them was crying, said they'd give anything in the world if they could only go back to preaching again. They said it's killing them down in their heart. And I can imagine that would be something. But it's the fire in our bones, you know. He said, I cannot stay. And then he stood one day, you know, and he preached the old past. You remember? He said, you better stay in the old path. And they would not. They would not. Well, it's a sad thing today, isn't it? As a nation, they were destroyed. One of the saddest chapters is Jeremiah 52. And then the saddest book is Book of Lamentations. Five chapters. And said the old prophet said, everything was violence and adultery and drinking and cursing. But he got up and said, you know, God's mercy is new every morning. He looked up. I'm always telling people, look up. Look up. That's where the victory is. If you look around, you're going to get discouraged. Look up. God hadn't gone anyplace. He's still in charge. God still calls the shots. And so they were destroyed. And when I went to school, back in Methuselah's time, England was that superpower, and we was taught it right out of the textbook. The sun never set on her possessions. She was blessed off the Lord. And, of course, I was taught that right out of the textbook because it's the truth. But there come a time, I know John and Charles Wesley got filled with God, got to preaching the gospel, and they run them out of the churches of England. Read your history. And they went to the fields to preach the gospel. And the great hordes of people that was starving to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wasn't getting nothing. They had religion, a long-haired religion, big old church buildings, you know. You can see them now in England if you want to go see them. And, they had much religion. But did you not know that religion was against Jesus Christ? They were the greatest enemies Jesus ever had was religion. Put on. Rituals, put on. Oh, I despise these old formed out ritual service. You're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you want to cut up a little, it ain't no shame to cut up a little. Amen. This one guy's jumped from bench to bench. He get happy. He fell and broke a leg. He never did do it no more. I've seen them run around the house. Seen them run around the church. It's not offensive to me. Praise God. Worship God. I don't believe in a bunch of foolishness, but I believe in worshiping God. And if you worship God, He'll get glorified. Amen. I'll tell you, worship God in spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. And in truth, Ephesians 6:17, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. That's what makes you happy when the preacher starts preaching this Bible. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest message that's ever been this side of heaven. Don't get sidetracked. Keep the gospel going. That's the thing that gets the job done. And then, you know, our great nation hadn't learned it either. I've been preaching 56 years and I've watched secular humanism as it got bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger. That's what's running our nation today, secular humanism. They're deifying man. They put man on a high pedestal and deify him. And then they're humanizing God. I hear the expression, that man upstairs. Oh, how insulting that is to God. Oh, he's God. He's a creator of the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. He's the God of love that gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross. And he came, born of a virgin, lived among men, sinless, verily God incarnate in the flesh, went to Calvary's cross, gave his life. My son took a see in the final year of high school because an old modernist preacher was a teacher, and he taught that Jesus Christ was a martyr, and he said no. No preacher gave him seeing. That hurt him when he went on to college later. But then he ended anyhow with the honors, made a civil engineer. But that old devil hurt him. hurt him. He wasn't a martyr. He gave his life on Calvary's cross. No one could take the life of Jesus Christ. He's from everlasting. You couldn't kill God. He verily lay down on that cross. Drive those 8-inch stakes through my arms. And he did it in a calm way. And the old centurion was amazed. Because them criminals, they would be so stout that soldiers was trained, you know, to put them on that cross and nail them spikes into them. But here, Jesus Christ just gave his life, allowed them to do that. The old centurion had never seen that before, never heard of it before, but it had a profound effect on him. And when we are Christians and when we're letting our light shine, it's having an effect on somebody that we don't even know about. Amen. So our nation hadn't learned it. And I used to say it's being destroyed little by little, but we passed that stage. It's really being destroyed today. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I love our nation. I wish it would come to God. I wish. See, our political system despises the name of Jesus Christ so much how they take his name out of all the public places. But, you know, the old Supreme Court, they got back in. Somebody chilled the commandments and things back in. They can't take that out unless they tear the building down. But if the name of Jesus Christ is so hated, you can mention God all you want to mention God. It don't offend nobody. Muslims have a God. Hindus have a God. Everybody's got a God. You know, you can get by and say, I believe in God. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, that's when the problems come. That old 76-year-old atheist that I talked to in the doctor's office, and I said, I've been preaching the gospel over 50 years. You've wasted your time. There's nothing to it. I said, you don't believe the Bible? No, I don't believe the Bible. I said, well, you don't believe in heaven? No. I said, how about hell? No. Believe it? Well, I said, you must believe we're animals. Yeah, we're animals, but we're the highest form of animals. That's probably well-dressed old man. Looked like he's educated. And about that time, his wife come out, and he jumped up. And I said, you folks have a good Thanksgiving. Ain't no hope for a guy like that. He's rejected Jesus Christ. But our nation hadn't learned, you know, that blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Thank God for little independent Baptist churches and so forth that spread all over our nation that's still standing for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Still praying for our nation. Still praying for those boys and girls in service. We prayed one home. He went over there twice. He didn't get hurt, but I could see he got hurt inwardly. It scarred him for life. But those soldiers, sailors, and boys and girls who have a praying church, and their names are called, and people get around the altar and begin to pray for them, that has an effect. I've seen that. That has a great effect. And that even has an effect on young people that has Christian parents. Think about those parents that never go to church, never believe in the Bible, never have a family altar. Those poor kids has got no defense at all. Man, that's sad. And they said my dad, he was a deacon and choir leader and men's teacher, said that he would present my name every service. And I come through all that old foolish youth and service, and God saved me. But think about how many others that never get prayed for. Man, that prayer. When we get to heaven, we'll understand how powerful a prayer is. that's prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. I wish a nation could learn it. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, you know, because that's what the Bible says. It says the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And if it says it, it means it. And so, you know, there's many other great themes in this Psalm 33, but I've said enough. And I was thinking this psalm here is a messianic psalm, but you could say it, still say it's for us. And of course, it was a song of if I can see it, it's a song of David. I'm going to read it for a quick. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, that's Psalm 40, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. I never knew what a horrible pit I was in till God saved me. Looking back, what a horrible pit. And out of the miry clay, how many times I've reformed from drinking, and sometimes for 3 months, and go back and be worse. It was miry, miry clay. The guys I run with, they know how to get to me. And I go right back. But then it says, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. I got saved on Monday night. Every one of them, without exception, tried me. They tried me because they got me back before. They never moved me. And they said, oh, Vance, trying something new. Well, it's been going on 60 years this year, and it's still new. Now, listen to this. And has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. I've not tried to count those that's been saved, but I see every one of them when I get to the bema seat. And old Paul said they with his joy when he gets there. Lost sinners that needs to be witnessed to. And so there's many other things we could read here and go on with it, but this is on my heart, and we need to commit ourselves once again in this 2012 to the faithful teaching of the inerrant word of the living God. Let Jesus Christ be our Lord and call the shots. Raise our children like that. Not change our ways to suit a generation, but stay with it. I have preached a U.S. senator, but it didn't change me. I thought he'd come to worship God just like the rest of them. And he told me later he appreciated it. I mean, people appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. If they're raised back under where the Bible was still the Bible, they'll never forget it for the glory of the Lord. God bless you, dear brother.